for your consideration that Ash Wednesday is more about grace and reconciliation than it is about sin and humiliation. I suggest this because sin and humiliation are terminal conditions, whereas grace and reconciliation are more in line with Christ's invitation to salvation. That is the ultimate direction of the season ushered in by Ash Wednesday. What is grace? Grace is one of the best gifts we can give one another. Grace allows us to forgive others because we know what it's like to be forgiven. The grace we show to ourselves sets us free from the burden of the guilt and the shame we sometimes absorb when we're not functioning at our best. Grace is a gift of maturity, forbearance, and peace. For others, yes, and also to ourselves. Grace is what Jesus allows us on Ash Wednesday when we smudge ourselves with ashes, even though he tells us very clearly in the gospel not to do such things. In the gospel, Jesus says, "Whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. When you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that your fasting may not be seen by others." Jesus seems to have a clear opinion about the thing that we do every year on this day. It sounds like we should be washing our faces rather than dirtying them. It would make a nice bookend to the foot washing we'll do at the end of the season. Perhaps we'd do better to get these ashes on our hands so that we could see them for ourselves easily and know that we have work to do to achieve the righteousness we seek. But we disfigure our faces instead, creating a blemish that we can't even see. It's a mark for the benefit of others to notice more than ourselves. Nevertheless, we follow the ancient tradition of marring our foreheads with ashes as a sign of mourning for the losses we've experienced because of our own sins. It can be a helpful tool. More importantly, grace allows it. And here's why. In the scripture record, whenever something really bad happens to someone, either that person or the people close to that person demonstrate their grief by covering themselves with ashes. From a practical point of view, it's a quick way to let others know that we're in mourning, that something terrible has happened, and we're very grieved. From a spiritual point of view, ashes represent an uncleanness that stands in contrast to the cleanliness of a right spirit. To be thusly dirty suggests that we've been exposed to something foul. Keeping ashes on for a prolonged period of time conveys that those foul things are not easily escaped. They cling to our bodies like sin clings to our souls. It takes time and effort to remove them, and so we ask for the patience and grace of others while we do the work to become clean again. When we consider the purpose of this day in the spiritual life, we mark ourselves with the same kind of ash chronicled in the scriptures to call our attention to the really bad things, the terrible things that we rightly ought to grieve. As we make our way through the litany, we recall the sins that we bear and recognize that the foul nature of these sinful things marks our inward spiritual lives far more completely than a thumbful of ashes can besmirch our foreheads. The litany for Ash Wednesday is wide-ranging, but it's still only a rough outline of the sinful things we human beings wrestle with daily. True repentance requires that we recognize the several aspects of our involvement with the things we repent today. These are easy to identify. We know when we break the Ten Commandments, for instance. In other cases, we may not be actively engaged, but we're complicit in allowing them to happen to others. The introduction to the litany phrases this in terms of sinning by our own fault, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. For some, the sins are far removed because we allow others to act on our behalf. Our indifference to the injustices that others suffer exposes our denial of the image of Christ in them. Archbishop Desmond Tutu said, "If you are neutral in situations of injustice, you have chosen the side of the oppressor. If an elephant has its foot on the tail of a mouse, and you say that you are neutral, the mouse will not appreciate your neutrality." Even Dante noted the sin of willful ignorance. He said, "The darkest places in hell are reserved for those who maintain their neutrality in the times of moral crisis." When we insist that someone else's suffering has nothing to do with us, or is too far beyond our control, we may be ignoring our role in the perpetuation of systemic injustice. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, pastor, theologian, and anti-Nazi activist, said, "Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act." We may have little power or agency to create waves of justice, such as those that roll down like waters, but we are each capable of alleviating suffering and play a part in bringing justice and peace to a world that so desperately needs it. Indeed, the world itself could be said to be marked with the ashes of our sins and the failing of humanity to care properly for the planet. When we, as a society, turn a blind eye to evil and hatred in the world and leave the resolution of it to some future generation, we smudge ourselves with the ashes of those we trample underfoot. If these ashes today do anything for us, if they offer us a benefit in any way, let it be to remind us not just of our shortcomings and failures, but the hope of being cleaned of them. When Jesus tells us to wash our faces, he knows that those ashen smudges are going to be there because that's what we do every year on Ash Wednesday. Jesus invites us to receive salvation in the form of repentance and the recognition of our ability to change patterns of injustice and suffering. When Jesus tells us to wash our faces, he's giving us the gift of grace. Come up and get your ashes. But know that receiving these is just the beginning of what they can do for you. Let them remind you of all your sins and shortcomings, guilt and shame, things that really only you can identify for yourself. And then, later, when you wash them off, imagine yourself beginning anew, a clean slate, an opportunity to do things differently, better. Think of the clean face you reveal as the new look of one who regards forgiveness and reconciliation as a daily act of living in faith. Let these ashes serve as a bridge for you to get over the chasm of sin and guilt that separates you from Jesus, your fellow human beings, and the planet. Know that for all the hurtful things these ashes represent, there is also the grace to restore yourself from them. So wash these ashes off when you get home. And when you do, Think about how returning to the Lord, restoring your right relationship with God, your fellow human beings, and the planet, cleanses your inward self as much as soap cleanses your outward self. The people Jesus refers to in the gospel who disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting are simply more interested in showcasing their vastly superior humility more than actually receiving the healing touch of grace. For us, there is grace offered in both the receiving of and the washing off of these ashes. And in that twofold process, we can pray as we will in a few moments that we may show forth God's glory in the world. And that is good news.